Exodus chapter 34. Great to see you here this morning. Good to be here to worship the Lord, to open the Word. I'm expectant of what the Lord might do in our lives. Our study brings us to the high point in the experience of Moses. Last week was amazing. We saw Moses have a revelation of the very glory of God, and that glory of God was a revelation of the heart of God to him. Just an amazing passage. And this morning, we're still at that high point, and what we find out is that it's all about the face of Moses. It's all about the shining, radiant, beaming face of Moses, who has been before the presence of God. And just about everybody knows that there is a direct connection between the human face and the human heart. That's the key to the story, really. Everybody knows it. Even babies know this. I walked into the 8:45 service, and there was Kristen Butkus with her daughter, Kaylee, who's a little toddler, and we're going to dedicate her in a couple of weeks. And Kaylee, looked up and went like this, you know, and kind of walked like this. And I thought, how cool is that? You know, you want to just, with the baby, you want to just get your face there and smile and see what you can get, you know? And I love it. I love the face of children because they do not lie. You know what I mean? They don't know the mask thing yet so well. And so whatever's on the inside comes out and you sort of see it there. It's beautiful. But what's weird is that infants, you know, they've learned that infants can actually read the human face as well, read the adult face. And infants long to see a human face. It's really amazing. I mean, they're fascinated by anything that looks like a face. And so they'll look at you. If you put your face in front of them, they'll just stare at you. And you know what's really weird is they not only recognize it, but they can read it. They can read it. I mean, they know if you frown at a baby, they'll frown. Like, what's up with that? You know, if you smile, they'll smile. And it's not just mimicking behavior. It's somehow they can actually read people through their faces. Even the baby knows that there's a connection between the face and the heart that lies behind it. It's like the human face is a visible picture of the reality of life that's happening hidden within the heart or deep within the heart. It comes out. I find it fascinating that the high point of Moses' life and his experience with God, all of a sudden it all becomes about his face, just this glowing face of Moses. One of the things that it proves is that Moses is a changed man. Moses is a man who has been transformed by his relationship with God. He's not the same anymore. And in many ways, Moses is fantastic because he becomes a model for us of how God wants to work to transform our own lives through Jesus Christ. The Lord wants us to be blessed and transformed. He wants us to become like Jesus. He wants to change our lives. And when He does, people are going to be able to see it on your face. There's going to be a transformation, and it's going to happen from the inside out. And so as we study today, I have this idea that the lifting of the veil from the face of Moses is a key symbol of the transformation that God wants to do within our hearts. Read with me in Exodus chapter 34, verses 29 through 35, as we get to this amazing kind of high point in the life experience of Moses. Exodus 34, 29 through 35. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony in his hands, he was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, his face was radiant, and they were afraid to come near. But Moses called to them. So Aaron and all the leaders of the community came back to him, and he spoke to them. And afterward, all the Israelites came near him, and he gave them all the commands that the Lord had given him on Mount Sinai. And when Moses finished speaking to them, he put a veil over his face. Now, it's sort of mysterious. Why did he put a veil over his face when he got done speaking to them? We're going to look at the New Testament later and find out why, because, of course, everything goes back to Exodus, so this passage is in the New Testament as well. He put a veil over his face, but whenever he entered the Lord's presence to speak with him, he removed the veil until he came out. So before the people, he's got a veil, but before God, he's just right there in the presence of the Lord. When he came out, he told the Israelites what he had been commanded. And they saw his face was radiant. And then Moses would put the veil back over his face until he went in to speak with the Lord. I like to think of it as the unveiled face of Moses in the very presence of God. And if you want to know the secret of the transformation of Moses' life, then you need to understand the secret of his unveiled face, being before the Lord. Moses is a changed man. It's really intriguing. I think that this right here is one of the key passages to tell us what God wants to do in our lives. And it's weird because there's so much big stuff in Exodus. I mean, you'd think, like, if there were any image, what would it be? The Passover lamb, or the parting of the Red Sea, or the giving of the manna in the wilderness, or the Ten Commandments coming down from the mountain. But just a lifted veil in Moses before the presence of God, why should that be such a key image for our lives? Do you know that when Moses very first encountered the Lord, the very first time he was aware of the true reality of God, that he hid his face from God? It's very important. Let's take a little trip down memory lane. Go in Exodus in chapter 3 and remember the story of Moses and how God appeared to him in the burning bush. God called to him from the burning bush, first time that Moses has encountered God. And as Moses responds, "Here I am," in verse 5, the Lord says, "Do not come any closer," God said. "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground." And then he said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And at this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. He hid his face. I mean, he went, "Oh no, oh no, this can't be good. It's God." And he was ashamed. You know what shame is? When you're embarrassed or ashamed, usually we can see it on your face, unless you're really good with the mask, which we'll talk about later. But we usually can tell. You look down, your eyes are downcast, you're embarrassed, your head goes down maybe. Color drains out of your face or it brightens up. And that's what happened to Moses. He was embarrassed, he was ashamed, he was afraid, he was insecure, and he would not look at the Lord. Look at how far he's come. I mean, if you want to talk about a transformation, Moses was transformed in many ways. He became a tremendous leader, a powerful, forceful personality. He was a guy who started out insecure, had identity issues, couldn't figure out who he was, what he was supposed to do, was on the run. God wanted to do something. He said, "Not me. You got the wrong guy. I can't do it." Tried to talk his way out of it. Went before the people. He was faltering. The people were unimpressed after things didn't go right. And Moses came back to God and said, "God, why did you even send me? I can't do this. I'm a total loser, a total failure," my paraphrase. But that's basically what was going on. And slowly he's being transformed. And then the next thing, he's standing in the presence of Pharaoh saying, "Let my people go free." He's just standing there. He's becoming this powerful personality, this leader that God wanted him to be. And he stretches out his staff and the sea is parted and all that happened. And all of those, we see those things as a transformed Moses. But what's really cool is behind the scenes, there's an inner transformation taking place in his life, in his heart, in his relationship with God. And in many ways, that's the key to the whole story. The man who began by hiding his face from the presence of God ends up being the man in the very presence of God with unveiled face, whose face is glowing. Let's see how this developed a little bit. Go to Exodus 33. In verse 7. Now all this has happened and there's fantastic miracles and battles and all this stuff is going on. But Moses, he's becoming a guy who wants to spend time with God. He wants to go hang out with the Lord. And so in chapter 33, verse 7, it says, Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp some distance away, calling it the tent of meeting. And anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp. And whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people rose and stood at the entrance to their tents, watching Moses until he entered the tent. And Moses went into the tent, and the pillar of cloud would come down and stay at the entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. So it's just an amazing scene. There's a tent out there, and Moses goes, and as he goes, there's this pillar cloud thing that represents the very presence of God, and would just come over and stand over the tent, and the people would just watch from a distance and marvel at this whole thing. It says in verse 10, whenever the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, they all stood and worshipped, each at the entrance of his own tent. They're like, you go, Moses. That's amazing. That's incredible. What in the world is going on inside that tent? That's what everybody wants to know. Well, it tells us in verse 11, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend. And Moses would return to the camp, but his young aide Joshua, the son of Nun, did not leave the tent. Moses was in there sort of drafting off of Moses, and he'd just go, I'm not leaving, this is too cool. What happened in that tent? It was life-changing for Moses. It was transforming to Moses. What happened in that tent was that the Lord spoke to Moses face-to-face, as a man speaks to his friend. And that's the heart of the story. It's amazing. It's incredible. The Lord spoke to him face to face. But you say, wait a minute, Pastor. We just read last week, and it said, no one can see the face of God and live. And so in chapter 34, Moses says, I want to see your glory. Show me the full thing of your glory. And God says, okay, but I can only show you my back, because if you see my face, if you see the full thing, you'll die. Very dangerous. You won't live. So what in the world does it mean when it says God spoke to him face to face? Well, it's an expression. It doesn't just have to do with the seeing the physical, like, light show glory of God's energy. It has to do with the relationship. Because everybody knows that there's a direct connection between the human face and the human heart. Everybody knows that the face is connected to the heart. And when it says that God spoke to Moses face to face, what it means is that the Lord spoke to him heart to heart. That God revealed his heart to Moses. It means that they had this close, intimate, open, honest, loving relationship. That's what it means. Even as a friend. I hope you don't overlook the power of that verse. Because when you connect the dots of God's power and his glory and his majesty and his sovereignty and all those things, and then you could even say that God spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. There's something incredibly dear and powerful in that. And it's just an amazing thing. And this is the transforming power in the life of Moses. He began to learn about his intimate, close, loving, grace-filled, honest relationship with God, sharing from a heart level with the Lord. He learned to share his heart with the Lord. He learned to open his heart to God, and he learned that God had opened his heart to him. And that's amazing. There's nothing more powerful than that. It's incredible. So Moses, when he goes into the presence of the Lord, even though his face is glowing and the people are freaked out, so he puts a veil on, but when he'd go in the presence of the Lord, he'd lift the veil. And I just like that image of him lifting the veil. It's great. You know, a veil, the purpose of a veil is to separate. The purpose of a veil is to hide, to conceal. That's always the purpose of a veil. In Islamic culture, the women wear the burqa. And the burqa is basically conceals, like, everything. And then there's a veil that goes with that, because it's to conceal everything. But then we think of the purpose of a veil, which isn't used so much anymore, but I think it's really cool, and it's the bridal veil. It's that veil that a bride would wear and come down the aisle and come to that moment of commitment and becoming one, and then there's the lifting of the veil. And it's all very symbolic. Because everybody knows that there's a connection between the face and the heart, and to be able to look into the loved one's face, to look into her face, and to say, this is the moment. This is beautiful. We're giving ourselves to each other. There's going to be no secrets. We're going to love each other. We're going to accept each other. We're going to affirm each other in love. And it's like there's no barrier. And just it's the veil, it's the face, but it's the heart. And I love that image. I think it's great. I have a picture in the hallway of our house. And it's my favorite picture of my wife, Maureen. And it's just her face. Somehow the light just sort of captured her and all of her radiance there. And I love this picture because she's just beaming on the wall with this big smile and bright eyes. And I go by and I look at that picture and I go, that's my bride. There she is. And that's our relationship. I feel like I can look right into that picture and I can see her heart because I know her so well. And I love that picture. It's not a wedding picture, but I feel like it is, because I feel like that's the look. I mean, I know that look. That was the look that when we got married, I mean, there's something there that is so incredibly beautiful about it. And all of this, to me, it's speaking of Moses and God and this friendship and this relationship and this openness. And you know, when that happens in a person's life, it does begin to transform their life. It really does. If you know that God is looking at your life with a smile on his face, with love in his heart, with grace, and if your heart is open to receive that from the Lord and be honest before the Lord, it's going to transform your life. And Moses came down and he didn't even know it. His face was just radiant and just shining. Now, everything in Exodus is important, and it all projects themes throughout the Bible. So now we have a theme, and that theme is the shining face of God shining upon his people. The upturned face of God looking right at you and loving you and blessing you. It's an important image in the Bible. We're going to take a look at some passages. Let's go right now and look at Numbers. So we're going through the Bible, so you've got to go Exodus, Leviticus, and then comes Numbers. Doesn't sound very exciting as a book of the Bible. It sounds like reading the phone book, but it's actually better than that. It's really rich. And in the book of Numbers, chapter 6, you'll find the priestly blessings, what we call the priestly blessing in Numbers. A very important passage. And it says in Numbers 6:22, the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. And so they will put my name on the Israelites and I will bless them. A really important passage. This was the priestly blessing. It's what they're supposed to say all the time to God's people, just to remind them of who they are. You know, put my name upon them. You want to talk about identity? What's your identity? You belong to the Lord? This is all about that. And it's all about the face of God. How does God want to bless our lives and transform our lives? Well, it says it right here. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up his face towards you or turn his face towards you. Everything is about the face of God blessing you, watching you, smiling at you, loving you, accepting you in your life. And you seeing that and getting that. And when you do, it'll transform your life. It'll absolutely empower your life. Now, there's all kinds of verses in the Bible that show how this works. So since we're traveling through the Bible, I want you to go to the book of Psalms. And we're just going to look at two passages from Psalms. Psalm 34. Have you ever known someone whose life was transformed by the Lord? I mean, really touched by the Lord? Because if you have, I'll bet you anything you can see it in their face. I was telling Maureen last night about this guy named Fred, who I always think of Fred when I think of transformed life. And Fred was dark. I mean, he was just dark. He was a killer. He was trying to kill his wife. He was just, I told you about him before. And the guy was just dark. And Jesus came into his life, changed his life, and you could see it on his face. I told Maureen last night, I said, Fred had the face of a murderer. And before it was over, he had the face of an angel. And Maureen just started laughing. She said, you exaggerate so much. She said, just tone it down, okay? Fred was not an angel. Okay, all right, he wasn't an angel. But close? Man, he was changed. The before and after shot on this one was amazing. Psalm 34. And in verses 4 and 5. I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. It's just a great verse. David was in trouble. Psalm 34, he's in trouble. You can read the whole psalm, read the introduction. He's in trouble. And then he remembers, said, oh, those who look to the Lord, they're radiant. Their faces are not covered with shame. Do you know how to look into the face of the Lord? With an open, honest heart and to receive his heart for you? Because there's strength and there's power in that. Go to Psalm 44. We could just spend the whole time in Psalms now talking about the face of the Lord, which the NIV unfortunately obscures often in its translation. Oftentimes when it says the presence of the Lord, literally in the Hebrew, it's the face of the Lord. And it's important, but it gets obscured sometimes in the English. Psalm 44 in verse 3. It was not by their sword that they won the land, nor did their arm bring them victory. It was your right hand, your arm, and the light of your face, for you loved them. It's just a theme in the Bible. You'll see it everywhere. Sure, there was a battle to be fought. And yeah, the people had to do something. They had to get up out of their chair and go down and fight and push against the obstacles and take action in their lives. But none of that was the decisive thing. The decisive thing was the Lord, and it was the light of his face loving them. And it motivated them, and it moved them, and it changed the world. And that's the way it works. Whenever the veil is lifted and we're truly connecting with the heart of God, there is power and transformation. But let me tell you that it's another story when that veil is put down. There's another story when there's that barrier between us and God. Things don't go so well. And you can also see that on a person's face. When there's a wall between you and the Lord, when you're hiding from the Lord because of fear or shame or guilt or pride or stubbornness, all of those things are like putting a veil over our heart before the Lord. And it doesn't go so well. So we're going through the Bible, so keep going to the right and go Psalms, Proverbs, and past Ecclesiastes and Song of Songs. You come to Isaiah chapter 3. Now this verse is a great verse. I love this verse. You're not going to like it probably so much as I do, but it's a good one. Kind of obscure. Most people don't meditate on this verse a whole lot. Isaiah 3 in verses 8 and 9. Jerusalem staggers. Judah is falling. Their words and deeds are against the Lord, defying his glorious presence. And the look on their faces testifies against them. They parade their sin like Sodom. They do not hide it. Woe unto them. They have brought disaster upon themselves. That's just a great verse. It's awesome. So that's not very encouraging. Oh, but hang on. The Bible isn't here just to encourage us. It's to tell us truth. And if you get the truth, you'll get encouraged in the end. All right. And you need to understand something, that the face is connected to the heart. And sometimes we can hide what's going on, but God sees all. And in this case, things aren't going so well. God's people are not walking with him. There is sin, there is pride, there is arrogance, there is deception, all of these things. Things are not going so well. And it says the look on their faces testifies against them. You know, It's just so true. You know, for many, many years, I've been getting up on Sundays and talking to a lot of people. So what I witness every week is a sea of faces. I've seen so many faces. It's amazing. And every week I see faces, and what I recognize is you can really see a lot on faces, and everyone's getting nervous. They're like... You can see a lot, and I see it all. I see people come in here, and I see people who are just radiant. They're filled with joy and you know, love. It's peace. It's great. I see other people come in, and they're hurting sometimes, and they're filled with sorrow. Some people are anxious in their life. They're conflicted. Some people are angry in their life. They come in here, and some people are stubborn and just resistant all the way. And, you know, I see it. I see it all, except a lot of people are really good at hiding it all. But, you know, you've been doing this long enough, you kind of figure it out. There was a guy named Lou Ron, who was a French foreign exchange student that came and stayed with a family at the church. This was years ago. And this guy was really an anti-Christian. And the family thought, well, we'll do witnessing by foreign exchange. So we'll bring someone over, bring them to church. They'll come to know Jesus. It'll be great. It's a win-win for everybody. Well, this guy came, and he sat in the church. This is at Medford Church, and he sat in the bleachers in this gymnasium, and he mocked me every week. I'm serious. This guy just jeered and mocked me. You know, he would snicker. I would say something, and he'd go like this, you know. He just, I mean, he was in the back just, it was brutal. It was brutal. And I'd go home, and I'd read Isaiah 33. The look on their face testifies against him. They parade their sin like Sodom. Now you know what I do on Sunday afternoon. No, seriously, I could not believe this guy, and I couldn't take it anymore. And I was praying, okay, I want to be a good witness, Lord. I'm just going to ignore this. And finally, this is like 3 months later, I couldn't take it anymore. And I determined, I'm going to go to church Sunday morning. At the end of church, I'm going directly to LeRon, and I'm casting him from the church. I'm like, dude, you're out of here. I don't even know why you come. What is wrong with you? Why are you doing this to me? I can't concentrate. You are so messed up. Anyway. That Sunday, I got up, began to share the word, and I noticed, hey, the guy looks really attentive today. He's like really tuning in. The end of the service, he raised his hand to receive Christ as his Lord and Savior. I went... I mean, seriously, I think God sent the Holy Spirit to intervene. Just, you know, get this guy saved, because Pastor Guy, by the time he gets done, he'll be in hell. There'll be no hope for him, you know. I couldn't take it anymore. That day he received Christ. What a great story. It's amazing. And you know what? His countenance changed. His countenance changed. It was just an amazing thing to behold. How wonderful. Now, I want you to know something. Moses is a model for your life. He's the absolute model for what God wants to do in your life. The Israelites were looking from their tents going, what is up with Moses? That is amazing. We wish we could have that or not. We're afraid of it. And they were just watching all of this. And they were so freaked out that he put a veil over his face because they couldn't handle it. But in the New Testament, we understand all of this has been an illustration for your life and mine, because God wants each of us to have that face-to-face relationship with God that Moses had. And I can prove it to you. Let's go to the New Testament, 2 Corinthians in chapter 3. 2 Corinthians 3, verses 7 through 18, our last passage today. And now you see, once again, Exodus shows up in the New Testament. And a key principle of life is illustrated by the truth of Exodus. 3:7, it says, now the ministry, if the ministry that brought death was engraved in letters on stone, and it came with glory so that the Israelites could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of its glory, fading though it was, will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? If the ministry that condemns men is glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? For what was glorious has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory. And if what was fading away came with glory, how much greater is the glory of that which lasts? Can you see what Paul is doing? He's making a comparison and contrast between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And he's saying this covenant, it was written on stones, and he calls it death, basically. And the reason why is because even though the law was good and it was holy and it was right, the Israelites could not follow through. They couldn't live it out. And so that which was good actually became the vehicle through which they became aware of their sin and their guilt before God. That's the way the Old Testament worked, as we saw in Isaiah 3. It didn't go so well for them. But now what he's doing is he's going to contrast that with the new covenant in Jesus Christ. Notice what he says in verse 12. Therefore, since we have such hope, we are very bold. We are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to keep the Israelites from gazing at it while the radiance was fading away. Now we get a little insight. Why was Moses putting a veil over his face? Well, part of the reason why was because when he wasn't in the presence of God, the glory would begin to fade, the radiance would begin to fade, and for some reason Moses didn't want people to see that. I don't know exactly why. He didn't want people to see that fading glory of his face and of his experience. And so he put the veil on until he went back in the presence of the Lord. In verse 14 it says, "But their minds were made dull. For to this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." Isn't that a beautiful passage? I love that passage. And notice what he says. It's all about the heart. There's a veil over the heart. These people, for whatever reason, because of pride or guilt or shame or their rituals, whatever it was, there's this veil over their heart. And they can't see the Lord. They can't break through. And here's the application point for our lives. Anyone who turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. When someone turns to the Lord, that veil is immediately removed. And we all, with open face, behold the glory of the Lord. With unveiled face, we behold the glory of the Lord and reflect that glory, even as the Spirit of God is at work. You need to know something. The Spirit of Jesus Christ is drawing you to the heart of God. The Spirit of the Lord is drawing you into this intimate, close, loving, open, honest relationship with Jesus. That's the way it works. And sometimes we resist, and there's pride or there's guilt or there's shame or whatever it is in our life, and we're resisting that. And the Spirit of the Lord wants us just to turn to the Lord, not to turn to activities, not to turn to church, not to turn to some other person, not to turn to any other thing, but to turn directly to the Lord, Jesus Christ. And something amazing happens in our lives. And you'll know it's true. You'll see the difference in your relationship with the Lord. Sometimes at our home, you know, I have that picture of Maureen in the hallway, and I pass that thing every day. And sometimes in our relationship, maybe things aren't going so well. Maybe there's a little conflict, a little friction. All is not sunshine and light every day, is it? And so, it's almost comical because, you know, Maureen is really easy to read. I'm a little bit better at the mask thing, but Maureen is just like, if Maureen's happy, it's like, and then when she's sad, it's, you know, it's like, I mean, she's just really easy to read. And so, you know, we get into that state and there's some conflict and it's like, you know, the eyes are down and you just, you know, the furrowed brow or the sullen withdrawal thing, whatever it is that happens, you know. And it's so funny because I walk down the hall and there's that picture. And I actually do this sometimes when there's a little conflict. And when I walk by, I just look at that picture and I go, that's my bride right there. There she is. And that's our relationship right there. And I look at her face and I go, that's it. That's the goal. It's that smile. It's that bright-eyed thing that's happening right there. It's that heart being open and revealed thing. It could be a wedding day. That's the goal right there. I got to get back to that. We got to get back there. It's almost comical by way of contrast. Oh, it's a beautiful picture. I love it. And it's such a great reminder. Got to get back there. You got to turn your heart back to one another. You got to find a way to turn your heart back to one another. The Holy Spirit says you need to turn your heart to Jesus. You've got to turn your heart. You've got to connect with the Lord. If you do, it's going to transform your life as you draw close to the Lord. So listen, God wants to bless and transform our lives. We're getting to the end of our study in Exodus. I want to leave you with something from Exodus that I hope that you'll remember. Every single day, you have this call and this opportunity to turn your heart back to the Lord. Life pulls us away from the Lord. Turn to the Lord. Each week, turn to the Lord. How do you do that? Take some time with the Lord. Today's the Lord's Day. Don't rush out of here and go, I did my church thing, I'm done. Spend some time. Read through the verses that we're studying. Pray about them. Talk to the Lord. Confess sin if you have sin. Tell Him if you're hurting. Be honest with the Lord. And then say, Lord, would you please show me your heart as I read the scriptures, as I read about Jesus and these verses? Would you please show me your heart? Because I need to see you, Lord. And I'm taking the veil off. I'm turning to you. And as you do, God's going to change your life. He's going to transform your life. And it's going to change the world because of it. I truly, truly believe that. Let's pray.